Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Oye mi gente, we're Spanish Aquí Presents. No one was going to bring us in, so I'm doing it for us. We got Raisa, we got Oscar. Carlitos is shooting the remake of Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest, you remember that movie? Sigourney Weaver is coming back. Yes, you heard it here. Yeah. Primero,
who's Carlos playing?
Her twin sister.
Yep. Carlos is getting...
Carlos in drag, you know.
Pushing his range.
Yeah, you know, of course, yes. Carlitos, stealing the role of a woman. How dare you? Wow.
Carlos really stealing all the best roles for white women.
Yeah.
Oh, he's stealing... Carlitos stealing all the white women roles.
Carlitos way. Carlitos
way. Wants a way and it's his way or no way. Okay.
We do not... We're not shady to anyone else when they're not here, are we?
No. Maybe...
Maybe we should. You know what? I can answer this later.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like I'm always here, so.
Right. It's true.
Real stable here for the dates recording.
When Oscar and I got, you weren't for like bonus episodes. I think when Oscar and I did like Queer Corner, I felt like it's like two kids like running the asylum.
Yeah.
Really, truly.
Yeah, people, truly. Look, you need me there to ground you.
Yeah,
who is the serious person? Not me.
Yeah. We take turns, I think. I think we take turns grounding.
Yeah. I have my silly days. What's up, boys? How you doing?
It's getting hot. It's so summertime.
That's me.
It's officially summertime. That's wild. Would you consider this a hashtag hot girl summer?
I'm like, okay, so there's been a, like so many like posts about it's not hot girl summer. It's whatever your body is.
Summer.
Yeah, so people are very anti anybody saying that. So I'm going to say no. Because here's the thing, but I think like there's nothing wrong with saying hot girl summer because I just think all the girls are hot. What the fuck? For me, it's like, I'm not thinking like, ooh, hot skinny girl summer. No, I'm just like, yeah, everybody that is alive right now and is going to experience summer, you're hot and that's it. That's my decision to say we're getting out of a pandemic and a lot of people are talking about bodies and working out. And I see a lot of more people too, like posting working out and doing, you know, the stuff. And I'm like, cool. Like, I love that. But also, like, it's nice to see people that are not as stressed out, too, because it's a good... I feel like a lot of people went through a lot of things this past year mentally. And, like, I think it's been a little bit of a nice reset to just be like, fuck this. Like, I'm owning whatever this is. And, you know, just, like, let's be happy. And it's more body positive, too, which I love that as well. So, I don't know. Maybe
I think the rebranding should be, you know, hot mental health summer, you know?
There you go. Do you
think it's important to take care of yourself? Well, that's one of the nice things that to come out of the pandemic is the focus on oneself, you know, being present in your own body, in your own mind, and taking care of yourself first. So that's good. Regardless of where you are mentally and physically, it's just like really, really nurturing and taking care of your soul and body.
Yeah. So. Ooh. Because everybody wants to take care of their physical, but it's like, okay. And like, I know that's ridiculous coming from me because to be fair, I just started doing two-a-days last week. So like
two
I do
workouts
Pilates
a day, right?
Yeah. I work, I do Pilates in the morning and then I do Rise Fitness, my other gym, at night.
Which they have yet to change to Rise as Fitness, right?
Yeah.
They're very close.
So one letter.
I keep pitching it and still nothing, but it's all right. I've only been there a few months, so give it time, boys. But I'm like, I feel ridiculous saying that, but I do genuinely think like it's like nice. That, like me, like I'm like, okay, like I'm looking for another therapist because mine is now out of like my like new insurance thingy or whatever. So I don't know. I'm like focused on getting everything good and healthy and going to doctors and not nice. Just the body. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, here's a pitch. My hot self summer.
My hot self summer.
Your hot health summer. You know what? I'll work on it.
I love anything that has
pitch.
Summer.
Never mind.
And then he gave up on it.
That's me.
Remind me to never let Tony lead an SAP pitch in a room.
Here's my elevator pitch. Is this my floor?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, it's not only summer, but it's specifically, I mean, let's talk. It's July 4th. It's American Independence Day, you know? You know what that sounded like? That sounded like Gonzo's girlfriend, that chicken from the Muppet Show.
I auditioned for that, and they're like, no.
No. Oh.
Carlos got it.
Oh, Carlitos.
Stealing rolls from chickens.
Stealing the chicken rolls, too, mm-hmm. going, yo. Wow. Yeah, so
it's... I love it's, pollos.
It's pollos. We know. We know. Pollito. Sabrosito.
I love eso. When I got Oscar to do cover his face with his hands.
Y'all are stupid. Y'all are so... fucking stupid.
Mira, okay, pues entonces.
Oh my God.
See, it's 4th of July. Yes, gobble, gobble, chirp, chirp, drip, drip, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have a peek out today, right? It's a little 4th of July Ooh. Themed.
Yeah. You know, it's like customary to talk about our July 4th experiences, but I say, fuck that. No, this is Spanish Hockey Presents. I'm curious because I don't know shit about Cuban Independence Day, Liberation Day. I don't even know what the correct terminology is. Mm. And you two are Cubanos. So I want to know, how do y'all celebrate your Independence Day? Do y'all have an Independence Day? I mean, I could talk about my Colombian Independence Day. I wish Carlos was here to talk about his Puerto Rican Independence Day.
Independence Day for Cuba is October 10th.
They do have one.
That's what it says. Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I was not raised learning this because okay. So we were really quickly just chatting about, you know, before the episode. And like you mentioned how I just was laughing when you mentioned Cuban Independence Day. Because I'm like, it just feels so ironic saying Cuban Independence Day when it's not independent and it's still a communist country and there's still so many liberties that are not given to the people of Cuba. So like, I know that that's not what that Independence Day means, but like saying it out loud just feels ridiculous and not real. Yeah. Tony, how do you?
No, I agree with that. I wasn't raised with this either. And when we think of Cuban independence, we're thinking strictly of Spain, right? But both Ryze and I come from like exile backgrounds for our Cubans relatives, that it's sort of, it's such a mixed bag, right? Mm-hmm. Independence from the Castros would be nice, but Raul just stepped down, right? Historically, the end of
this is the first time that somebody that is not a Castro in, I believe it's over 60 years, is now in charge.
Yeah. 60 years, you said?
I believe it's 60. Yeah, because it was first Fidel. And then when he finally, when they had no more footage of him walking back and forth in a sweatsuit, then they finally
That's when they called it. There's no more
they
footage.
Finally, yeah. They finally, bro, because do you remember that? Do you remember that time? Because here's the thing. I was living in Miami and like, yo me acuerdo, like everybody, like they would go to Versalles in La Calle Ocho and La Carreta and like, Fidel está muerto, like, you know, can't, like, fucking, like, you know, all Cubanos. And it's funny because, like, it was for, I mean, there were years that they would do that because there was always, it was always a fucking conspiracy theory or that he had a bunch of twins, like, what do you call them, when they have, like, the lookalikes?
Like clones?
They have, like, literal, like, they say that, like, about, like, Saddam Hussein, like, that they all, doubles. Like, they were doubles,
like, lookalikes. Yeah. Look,
on purpose because they're so wanted, like, by the world or whatever. They have so much hate and enemies, which they do, like, makes sense. They're terrible, evil people. So I just remember that time, how funny it was, like, just so many years of just him going back and forth. They would never show footage of him other than in his like sweatpants outfit and like looking like a hot mess, just like barely walking, like so slow.
Oh my God.
But it felt so fake. But like, since it was Cuba, everybody just was like, oh yeah, they don't have this. They don't have, it's like, no, bro, you don't think the fucking Castros have a fucking big ass, I don't know, 100 and something big TV in their like place? Ay, por favor, listen, mm-hmm. they're living the life. The la otra gente are the ones that are not. Mm. But yeah. done with that. Oh, rant.
So that's so interesting because I mean, my question,
anti-Castro, unapologetic.
Yeah. Right. My question is like, so then what is celebrated on October 13th?
I think
October 10th. No, I was going to say
10th. Sorry.
Yeah. 10th. No, it's okay.
It's just like a historical marker. I don't think.
Looking at me like, what?
I think it's just like a historical footnote, really, right?
They do like parades. They used to. I don't really know if that's still a thing.
In Cuba?
Yeah. They would do like little like parades. Yeah. Like or something.
That's interesting.
Because for Cuban, so let's talk about the day. It's when we became independent from the colonizers of Spain, correct? Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're like the people in Cuba, like to them, it's like a big deal. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like it because it's not talking about the U.S. or like the right. It's not talking about the people that are literally in Cuba imprisoned or like the like literal like, you know, humans that can't leave the island without getting murdered or dying on the way there. So like I think that's why they would maybe celebrate it a little bit. But it sounds a little more elitist, maybe the like the elitist part of Cuba. Because, you know, they have that. It's you're either really, really, really fucking rich or you're poor. There's like no right. in between there. Like, there really is
military,
isn't.
Government, tourism.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure they have like a dinner and like a thing and whatever. And, you know, I'm sure they're using the people's money and just, you know, having a nice time without them. Like, I don't know. That's what I imagine.
What is celebrated in Miami then? Because both of y'all are from Miami. No. So that's not even an acknowledged for a lot of like.
No.
Oh, not interesting.
Yeah.
Fidel's death.
And, yeah.
Right.
That
was celebrated.
But it even feels weird celebrating that because it's kind of like, well, he died, but did it make a fucking difference? No, because Raul came on.
Right.
Even though he was, and God, I hate having to even say this, but like he was maybe slightly less evil than Fidel. Mm. But I think it's because of the times. No. I think it's because
changing,
I don't think it was him. I mean, again, I don't know this motherfucker at all, but from what I know of reading and, you know, like checking on, you know, Cuba and like seeing people post about it, like I do think that he couldn't just be killing people militia style like him and Che, like Fidel and Che did and him to, you know, before, because that's another thing. A lot of people, you know, love to praise Che Guevara, but Che Guevara wasn't a good guy. Che Guevara
Who's praising Che Guevara? Like, let's really talk about this for a second.
White men are praising him and wearing
like
his
college
shirt.
Students that
I went up to a man in his 40s that did improv and is a white man, and I went up to him while he was wearing the shirt. You both know him. And he was wearing it, and I went up to him and I was like, I hope you know that like that person you're wearing killed my people. So like, if I were you, I'd maybe like not wear it. And this was like before, quote unquote, wokeness or whatever the fuck. And like he like kind of laughed it off and walked away. And like, I don't know. Yeah, that's, you know, it sucks to have to like do that because it's like, I don't know, like the people personally, maybe, but like I've had my friends post about it. Like my tío was or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, like. People don't realize this. Like, he was not just a nice little Robin Hood type of a Motorcycle Diary character. He was a monster as well. And
he did
and
not
I think
look
that,
like Gabriel Garcia, Gael, what's his name?
No. I mean, yeah, I actually have a picture of him that my abuelo Rafael took in Cuba or something like when they were like up on the things and like, I don't even know. And like, it's a picture and like Che is in the picture. It's Raul and Che. Wow. And it's crazy because like I have it and like I kept like the physical one of it somewhere in my house. But it's like,
remember wearing in Cuba?
No, because the thing is that my on my dad's side, my dad lived in Santiago de Cuba and my dad's tío Nino, he's my tío abuelo. And he's still alive today because let's be real, they're all in their 90s and almost like a lot of them have already passed away. His like primas and siblings. My tío Nino was one of the comandantes that helped get rid of Batista with the Castros.
What?
And he was my, but here's the thing. It feels crazy when you say this and like people are like, oh my God, but it's like, I'm not saying Batista was better or worse. Like, but Fidel sold you a dream. He sold you a different dream. He said, you know, he sold you, he's, mira, I'll put it in American terms. Mira, he sold you Evian and he gave you fucking LA Dasani. River water. No, not even LA River water. Okay.
Yikes!
So you know what that is? That's no water. That's dirt. That's mud, you know, because we don't have water in the river. So I'm like, that's like an LA analogy, I guess. But yeah, so he was a comandante and helped. And then when he realized, so that's why like we have some pictures, because my abuelo, my dad's dad, Rafael, he was a photographer. So he used to do like quinceañeras and like weddings and like of a lot of like political people or whatever. Like just he was a really big photographer. And he has some pictures of like before. And then like, I mean, after that, they just had to get the fuck out because my family would have been killed. Because when my tío Nino found out that this motherfucker was a bad guy, like in like the like shortest way to say the story, because he also has a book about this that he wrote and he's even talked in colleges about it. They just had to get the fuck out. So like, I like you left everything there. And
your tío Nino came to the U.S. after that?
Everybody had to leave. He had to tell my abuela and abuelo and the rest of the primas or whatever, like, we need to get the fuck out because they're going to come and kill me and they're going to get the rest of my family too if you stay and if they see that I leave. Because that's how it was. If us three are our siblings, you know, and we're in Cuba and I fucked up or whatever and like I'm talking against Fidel and the Castros and his regimen and his communism, he's going to first kill some. He's going to come and kill one of you guys and then kill me and then fucking, you know, kill you in front of me. Or like, that's the kind of shit they would do. Like, I mean, you know, even in Colombia, like that's the kind of shit that fucking animalistic like shit that humans do where you're like, I don't even know. Like I watch this in movies or you hear these stories and I'm like, fuck, that's like, I can't even imagine just like being present in any of these situations. But anyways, I'm like, I got too a little dark and real here, but it's just it sucks sometimes. I like want to talk about Cuba more in just regular social things, but it's hard to not get real about it and sad because it's, you know.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, like, this is the kind of stuff that is that happens in third world countries, developing countries where, you know, you have like, it's this weird juggling act of regimes that happen and this struggle for control. And it's always totalitarian governments that are making like the most extreme form of punishment. You know what I mean? Just like if you have an opposing thought, that's warrant for your execution, you know?
Yeah. Or just someone saying something.
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean, exactly.
Un chisme would get people killed. Like, do you know what that is? Un chisme, bro. I mean, like, hello. Like, Latinos love to gossip. What the fuck? Like, you can kill everybody.
Yeah. But, I mean, this isn't Latinx history, but there is a documentary called The Act of Killing. And it's about this guy who, like, murdered all of these people. It's such a bizarre... I can't recommend this documentary enough. Yeah. It's an Indonesian documentary about this. Tony, have you seen it?
I've heard of it. I cannot watch it.
It's a very difficult movie.
I've read
to
about
watch.
It.
It's wild, but it's about this guy who like executed all these people for exactly the same reasons why people would get killed in Colombia or like Cuba. And the way he talks about them is just like very proud, like prideful sort of like, yeah, I did that. Like, it's this very bizarre thing. And like, that's how people who backed up Fidel's ideas, like that's how without any remorse would just like commit these heinous acts because they felt like they were on the right side of history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's devastating.
Yeah.
But thank you, Ryza, for like being incredibly candid and talk. Cause you know, like I don't really know a lot about Cuban history. And it's interesting to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, it's weird. Cause it's like, I do feel a little far from it because I feel like we didn't like to talk about it. It's sad. Like I don't like, I get sad sometimes talking with my dad about it. Like I literally like right now, like I even get like emotional just thinking about it. Cause I'm like, fuck, like my dad's not going to get to go back there. And like, he's just not. And like, you know, like our, like other people like him have like, you know, that got like, I want, like, it's going to be soon to the point where like their age group, like they're dying, like those people are dying or have died And like they're like they live this like American dream, like hoping that one day they can go back and like just like fucking touch the soil of their fucking right. country. But they can't because it's not it doesn't feel right to them. I went because I wanted to go and it was my choice. But it was like I feel like there's so many people that don't want to because they feel like
right.
they shouldn't. And, you know, it's a whole thing, but whatever.
I'm how was going back to Cuba for you? Oh, or going to Cuba.
I like cried when I got there and when I left. And I don't know. I like brought back sand like in a Ziploc bag from there. It's weird. It's like you feel like you're bad because you're there, you know, like you feel like you're doing something bad. But like I did everything I could to like not give money to the government. So like, you know, I stayed in an Airbnb, like I had like a local guia,
like paladeras, right?
I went to the paladeras, like to eat, like I went to like the local spots, not even the touristy spots, you know, and like supported. Yeah. Like I even went to the only CrossFit gym there and like,
what?
It was, yeah, I have videos and everything.
It would be very on brand for you to find the
CrossFit gym.
I mean, listen, when I went, mira. When I went, I told my guía, Humberto, who I've mentioned to you guys, I'm like, I'd love to have him on the pod. I should hit him up after this again. Last time I like still like WhatsApp with him and he lives in Cuba. He's been in Spain though for a little bit because he has like some type of like thing where he's able, like there's some people, certain things you could get visas and shit, right, but like they're exactly. super hardcore. Yeah. But I was like, mira, yo quiero hacer tres cosas. I was like, I wanted to do three things. I was like, I want to do a photo shoot because it was my sister's 40th birthday. Like that was like whatever. It was just me and her, Dania. I was like, we want to do a photo shoot. I want to do a photo shoot. One. Number two, I need to do CrossFit. So find me the CrossFit.
These are the priorities, Melian?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And number three, I want to see a bruja. So I did.
Oh, so you saw a bruja?
Yeah.
And how was that experience?
Well, you know, I can't talk about it, but. All I have to say is it was legit.
You've talked about it off
a little mic. Bit off. Yeah. I'm like, but yeah, sorry. I'm like, I feel like I've hogged this whole pica.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, Tony, you're from Cuba.
Born here. My father came from Cuba.
Mm-hmm. But have you been back to Cuba?
Yeah, a few times. We used to go when I was a kid. We would see relatives there. And I went, good Lord, 20 years ago. My relatives, my direct relatives, they've all passed away there now. But I'm looking to go very soon, as soon as this year, because I got to work on a documentary about drag mm-hmm. queens in Cuba. And mm-hmm. I was supposed to go there last year. Mm-hmm. But now we might to go to Santa Clara.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I've always ever been to see relatives there, and it's very like sad now to think that they've all gone now. They've all passed. My grandparents never left. My dad's brother, they stayed. It's very, very bittersweet.
Yeah. And
it's painful.
It's weird. It's like too. Like it's like. It sucks because I feel like there's a lot of Cubans that are in America, and I'm going to say it as a fucking Cuban that lives in America and was born in the United States of America. And there's a lot of Cubans that come here or like are born here after like a generation or two. And like, they're so fucking like selfish and don't give a fuck about like where they came from for real. Like, you know, like where their people came from. And it sucks because I feel like it gives us sometimes a little bit of a bad name. And I know that everybody also hates on Cubans because we're known for being conservative and Republican usually when it comes to voting. And I know that sucks and that's terrible, but also like, I think like, even like I've gotten hate from like other Latinx people and it's like, I'm not that type of Cuban, one. And number two, like, also, like, it's like I can't control, like, you know, like I, Raisa, cannot control what Republican conservative Cubans are doing. Like, also, their decisions and what they do is not the same because, in the end of the day, there's a bunch of conservative Republican Mexicans, there's a bunch of conservative Republican Colombians, there's a bunch of conservative Republican, but there's everything.
There's generational, which, there's like job categories.
And I think we mentioned this. This might not have been on the podcast, but we did talk about the idea of the psychology of some, I'm not generalizing here, of some conservative Cubans being like, well, I want to stay the fuck away from communism. And in their mind, the idea of a leftist or even anything mm-hmm. left-leaning,
socialist, anything that even feels like
exactly
socialist.
Is like yeah. so triggering for them. I'm not excusing no. that train of thinking, but that is a legitimate way of thinking for yeah. a lot of Cuban Republicans.
And these are Cuban Republicans that don't believe in therapy. So you think they're going to go and talk to somebody no. about it? No. Yeah. Ellos se van a quedar en ese mente toda su vida y se van a morir así. And you know what? In the end of the day, like, it's just like, it sucks, but like, it really is what it is. What's beautiful now is when I see people in Miami that come from Republican parents and they are so mm-hmm. liberal. They're so outspoken with like yeah. the opposite and they don't give a fuck and they're respectful about it and they're professional. And it's really beautiful to see. Now, do I have friends that I was friends with, but are like such Trumpies that I stopped being friends with? I've said it before. Yeah, 100%. They still follow me on Instagram and look at my stuff and they can read every single thing that I post about saying that Trump is a fucking scumbag, y me vale, because that's mm-hmm. that's my opinion. And I think that, like, you know, especially as a Cuban that is against it, I need to talk about it even more sometimes because we aren't, maybe some of us are scared because maybe are, you know, you don't want to get your family mad or whatever that is. And, you know, I've had those conversations with those people too. And they're like, yeah, I'm a Democrat. I voted for Bernie or whatever it is. But they're like, but you know, like, you know, le digo a mi abuela. And I'm
keep
like,
it
bro,
on the DL. Yeah.
What? Like, what yeah. the fuck? But yeah, I don't know. It's, I'm like, we can have hours and hours of this conversation. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've talked about it too a lot.
Well, the Cuban Independence War lasted 3 years.
There you go.
Oscar,
I love to
about
drag
you?
It on.
Colombian. Colombian independence.
Oh, Colombian Independence Day is on July 20th. So it's on the same month as the American Independence Day. Mm-hmm. And that is very similar to a lot of South American countries' yeah. independence from the colonizers yeah. of Spain. And, you know, we owe, you know, Simón Bolívar was the Gran Libertador of, you know, Venezuela, Ecuador, Colombia. Okay. And so, yeah, July 20th is when we celebrate. You know, I was born in Colombia and we did celebrate it in Colombia. And when I came to this country, I lived in Queens in New York and I didn't live in Jackson Heights, but there is a heavy, heavy Colombian population in Jackson Heights that did celebrate Colombian Independence Day, known as 20 de Julio in Colombia. Yeah, people would party in Jackson Heights. We would have parades in Flushing, Queens. But actually moving to Los Angeles, like, there is little Colombian representation yeah. Yeah. in Los Angeles. So I was keeping my eyes peeled for any sort of Colombian celebration for 20 de Julio, and I couldn't find a single thing. So yeah, maybe anybody who lives in LA who might have any recommendations of yeah. Fun little fiestas for 20 de Julio, please hit me up because yes. I would love to attend.
You know what, Oscar? Sometimes you have to be the cambio you want to see.
Oh,
yes, open your own restaurant and do a whole thing.
Yes, I'm going to change my careers real quick.
Before we go to our cafecito break, I was wondering really quick, like, are you guys... are you doing anything for 4th of July now that you, is that like something, like, what is it really quickly? Like, what is 4th of July to you now as an adult in the LA without your family? And like, how does that like transpire within your celebrating of it?
It's a time to party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
it's an interesting question. Yeah. I mean, cause like when it comes to, besides like the barbecues and the cookouts that happen on July 4th,
yes.
Are people really celebrating American Independence Day? Mm-mm. Really? That's, you know what I mean? And no, we're not celebrating our independence from the British colonialists at all, you know?
No.
We're not hanging Paul Revere, you know, chains around the house or anything like that.
And taking indigenous people's lands from them.
Yeah, it's like, what? Yeah. What does it mean to be American? I don't think that we are the type of people to celebrate, quote unquote, American pride.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, like, what I'm doing when I celebrate, you know, 20 de Julio is like, oh, Colombian pride. I'm very proud of being Colombian. That's my identity. But I'm not doing the same every July 4th, like wake up in the morning being like, thank you. Thank you. The founding fathers for signing that Declaration of Independence. Same. Yeah, I ain't doing that, you know?
Same.
It is just an excuse to hang out on a fucking hot ass day.
Fuck yeah. Truly. Yeah, I agree. I will say when I was younger, we used to go to my tia Nancy and Uncle Diego's house and do a big, like, we'd walk over and do the watch the fireworks, and we'd wear those Old Navy, you know, the always had a different 4th of July. No, they would have
the performance fleece.
The t-shirts. Remember, the Old Navy would always make a hot, like the holidays. But 4th of July was a big one for them for some reason. I don't know what is the relation.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So they would do it. So I remember.
Old Navy, the most patriotic clothing.
I don't know. I don't remember. I think there's a reason. I forget. But anyways. Uh-huh. But like now I'm like, yeah, like I know we're recording this a little early, but I will be at my Uncle David's house in West Palm Beach. And we're just doing a barbecue and just going to see family, watch some games, you know.
Oh, I don't know. There's games that day, aren't there?
Yeah, there's always a baseball game every single day, every single day of the year.
Is there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I used to bother Alejandro. I'd be like, babe, are the Dodgers playing today? He's like, every day. The Dodgers play every day, babe. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I just bought it. Now I ask him every time, even though I already know the answer. But yeah. So
Tony, what about you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, no. He did say it.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, I think it's the same as both of you. It's just, I don't put too much weight on it.
Oh.
I do feel grateful to be in this country for all the positive things that are, you know, nowhere else in the world. But we got problems.
Yeah.
Problematic country.
Yeah. Also, before we go, Biden and Kamala, get your shit together with immigration. Get your fucking shit together. All right. So I got to say, and I'm pointing at the Zoom.
Pointing at the Zoom for all our listeners to see.
Why are you pointing specifically at me? I don't talk to either one of them.
Can I leave one more thing?
Go ahead.
I agree with what you just said, Isa. I watched a documentary and I feel like I might get this wrong. So please come at me if I get this wrong. But the first country in the Americas to declare their independence to claim their independence was not the U.S. It was Haiti.
Hey, mira.
Oh, okay.
From
the British, you mean?
Mm. From the French.
Yeah, no, the
oh,
French.
Oh, right, from yes, the yes, French, yes, exactly.
From Napoleon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay. Oh,
if I'm wrong,
if I'm wrong, send him, okay, if he's wrong, send him a DM and tell him.
But be nice about it, you know, we don't want to tear someone down, we want to educate people.
But be like a little naughty when you send it. Like,
yes,
just say
so send your
naughty.
Pollos.
Send your pollito.
Oh, my Lord. You know what? I think we do need a cafecito break at the moment.
Dale.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today. For generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Slurp, 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 mi gente. We are back from a cafecito break and oh my God, I cannot even express to you how excited we are to finally have this guest today. You know her, you love her as the co-creator, co-star with Jessica St. Clair of Best Friends Forever. You've seen her in 1 million things from Veep, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Lady Dynamite, Excuse Me, Adventure Time. Also, by the way, a soon-to-be-released HBO Max series starring our own Oscar Montoya.
Hey.
We not only love her for her comedic brilliance, but I am so lucky to call her a very dear, dear friend. Beautiful, inside and out, Lennon Gwendolyn Parr.
Hey. That was the most beautiful intro.
He still forgot to bring out the mugs.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Mugs?
I'm drinking Tony. My cafecito from my mug that Lennon gave me. It says not today, together. So I took it literally.
Not today. Okay.
Not today.
Not today.
Lennon.
Not
today.
After 30 minutes of introductions, how are you?
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm going to frame that. I'm going to frame it. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here. I love this podcast. I've been listening to it and I love it. Yeah.
Yay, thank you. we love you and we love your podcast, plural.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about Womp It Up that not many people, or maybe everyone does, know that you're the DJ of Womp It Up, right?
Oh, yeah. That's really important for
that's
everyone
very important.
To understand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm here to bring up things and maybe not everyone.
Yeah, yeah, on the serialized, like very character driven. So if you didn't start at day one, don't even bother joining. Womp It Up. It's a podcast I do with Jessica St. Clair, my frequent co-conspirator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a spinoff of characters from comedy Bang Bang, Scott mm-hmm. Aukerman. And yeah, and it's insane. And we took a full year off and now we just started doing like little, it's just so fun. And we were like, it feels joyful. We're only going to do things that give us joy right now because everything mm-hmm. else is a disaster. So
yeah,
like live in your joy. So we were like, let's do it. And we're doing it.
Yes. So I have a question.
Yeah.
Which I've actually always wondered, how long have you and Jessica been like besties? Because I obviously like I knew you from UCB stuff, but then I remember when Best Friends Forever came on, I was like, this show, which I'm sure so many people tell you, like I was like, this is me and my
and
best
playing
friend.
House, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, but best friends like really like I would watch that and I was like, oh my God, this is me and my best friend Vix. Like all that, like I so many like moments and like just like the back and forth. I was able to really like relate to the characters.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder how long they've been friends. So how did you guys meet? What's the story on that?
Well, we actually became best friends while writing about Best Friendship, if you can believe that. So we weren't best friends to start. We had both come up through the UCB. So like when we got together to come up with an idea for a TV show, we had the same manager. And I know Jess was like actively looking for a woman to collaborate with. And I didn't know which end was up, to be honest. And so we just like went to a diner and started brainstorming ideas. And we were like rolling on the floor, like, oh, you know, covered in turkey chili. And it was just sort of easy.
And you were banned from
never
the
really,
restaurant.
Yeah. It closed. That one closed. They had to close it down because of health code violations. But it was so easy. And we had both been feeling this absence of like real women on television. Like we both had been going out for very different roles, but always like I was like the weird sister or the weird best friend. And she was going out for like the bitch, the boss, you know? So we were like, that's not women. Like women are actually all of those things rolled up into one,
yes,
you know, like
100%.
the slutty bitch boss. So,
yes.
So we decided to like write for ourselves because we felt like, and that's similar to what I did with my one woman show at UCB in New York. I was like, nobody knows the insanity that is in my head and nobody better to write for me than me. So put it up and see what happens. It's terrifying because it's you. It's fully you. It's your voice, you know? And with Best Friends Forever, it was just like it continued to be like against all odds, you know, because nobody knew who we were. And we wrote this pilot and then it got picked up. And then the network executives changed, which is like always a bad sign. Mm-hmm. And then we did a table read for the new president with Chris Pratt and Jake Johnson in our table read.
Wow.
They were like just doing us solids, basically.
Yeah.
And it got picked up to series, but it was like the last one that got picked up to series. I don't know. It was sort of like this insane combination of elements that got it to actually being made. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, but Jess and I, that was kind of our origin story. And then as we wrote Best Friendship and we're spending all this time together and finishing each other's sentences, we went through life together and we like fell in real friend love with each other.
You went method.
Aww.
Yeah. Mm. And so it was kind of from the outside in as opposed to the other way around.
We're best friends. Let's work together. And then you end up like not being friends anymore, which is usually what happens.
Yeah. Honestly.
When friends collaborate.
Yeah. True. So yeah, it worked out. And then we went on to do Playing House and mm-hmm. all this other crazy shit together. So, yeah.
It's so great to see like the tremendous fan love for Playing House and Best Friends Forever. It like, I mean, I'm not a woman. I'll say it now here. But
exclusive.
But Riza, you were saying like the tremendous appeal of female friendships. And
yeah.
I'm going to say for gay men, at least, like there's that attraction too of like new families or chosen families, let's say.
Yes.
Totally.
Especially with Playing House, that's a factor there. I have a theory about your comedy sensibility.
Oh, that oh I think, I'm interested.
To contrast against Jessica, I think I've told you this before. So you, I don't think, when you started performing, you did not start out seeking comedy, right? You were a dramatic actress to start.
Well, Lenny,
come on. You wanted to be Meryl Streep, right?
Just humor him, Len.
Please.
Who doesn't want to be Meryl Streep?
For sake of this theory.
Just... Of course. No, of course. Like, I was going, like, I went to college for theater, like
and with an R-E, not an E-R.
That's right. That's but amazing. I just kept getting cast, and in high school too, as like the comedic one. And I was like, really? Like
furious.
Like I'm capable of so much more than this, but so I do have like a foundation of like theatrical like drama acting.
Okay.
And I auditioned for all those grad schools, like to go to grad school for theater.
Like that where'd you end up
everywhere.
Going?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay.
I went to undergrad at the University of Evansville, which had like basically a conservatory program, but like inside a liberal arts college. So you got like a regular education, but you were like eating, sleeping, breathing theater. And it was everything. When I went to visit, it was like the best performance I'd ever seen, like the best production I'd ever seen. And I was like, I didn't have a good time that weekend. Like it was a disaster. I was like sleeping on the floor of some girl's room and she clearly hated me. And so like, I didn't go to any parties, but I saw one play and I was like, that's it. I gotta be here. And then of course the next 4 years and I met all these wonderful, amazing best friends that I still talk to today and, you know, hang out with and love.
But refuse to work with because you don't want to lose the friendship.
I don't want to lose the friendship. Yeah. But then after college, I thought, or, you know, your senior year, you start to think about the next step. And I was like, I got to do grad school. Like, that's what you do to be a working actor. That's what all, like, Carrie Preston went to my college and she went on, I think she went to Juilliard and then went to be in The Tempest with Patrick Stewart on Broadway. And I was like, well, that's the trajectory here. Like, you know,
right.
But then a little gentleman named Jack McBrayer was at my college as well. And he plays Kenneth the Page on 30 Rock, et cetera. One of the funniest and kindest men you'll ever care to meet. And when he graduated, he went to Chicago to do Second City, Improv Olympic. And I saw that and I saw how much joy it gave him. And one summer I lived in Chicago and he was like, I think you should do this. I think you should think about doing improv. You'd be really good at it. And so that kind of festered in the back of my mind for a while, but I still didn't do it. I tried to get into like Juilliard and all of these amazing colleges. And they all said, no, thank you, which was actually a gift because I ended up taking a break after college and doing Teach for America, where I went to rural Mississippi and taught high school French for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And then with the strength of the gods, after having taught high school for 2 years, I moved to New York and I was like, bring it on. Cause you got nothing on me. I just was teaching high school, you little bitches.
Yeah.
So like, what do you want? What do you want? Like, what do you want me to be? Like, I could walk in. I was so fearless. I was just like so fearless after that experience. And it was just what I needed. Cause I was, before that, I was like a little soft baby, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love this because I could just imagine you like walking into like auditions.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still look like a tiny, like a tiny girl child. Like I didn't look like an adult until I was fully 35. But like I would walk in with the confidence. Like one time, I swear to God, this is the most insane story. So I played percussion all through middle and high school, and I was in the marching band, and I wear it like a very proud badge because I was a motherfucking snare drummer, right? So I am auditioning for grad schools and summer stock, and we do this like big audition, and Blue Man Group is there, and they've never had a woman on their show, in their show.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm a drummer. And one of the guys in my class got called back, and I was like, what room is that? In the hotel where they're doing callbacks. He's like, it's 2:36. And I was like, all right.
I'm going to shave my head. Yes. And I'm going to come over.
I'm there, bitches.
I just went up to the door and I knock, knock, knock. And I walk in and he sees me in my express sweater suit and like, like full length black skirt and mules. Thank you very much. And it's like for a moment, like, who are you? And I'm like, I think you might have missed me. I'm actually a drummer and I think you might have. And then he realized I had on 2-3-inch heels, which makes me the appropriate height for a Blue Man because they all have to be the same height, like the Rockettes. Mm-hmm. You have to be at least 5'10", and I'm 5'8.5". So with the heels, I was 5'10", but I wasn't tall enough to be a Blue Man. But then that guy and I became good friends.
Is he still a Blue Man?
No, he wasn't a Blue Man. He was like an artistic director of the Blue Man Group. Anyway, that was the kind of like balls I was walking around with, like underneath my express like sweat.
After teaching high school.
Yeah, this was right before.
Right before.
I went to Mississippi. Yeah. This was when everybody was saying no thank you.
I wanted to ask earlier, but we kind of moved on. But like, what was that point of reconciliation? Because I know what it feels like to feel like, oh, I'm going to college and I have to do this. And this is the trajectory. And for a lot of, especially for comedians, they're like, we have to have the JFL or we have to have this thing. And at some point, we're like, we don't. So how was that transition?
You don't have to have any of that. Like, you don't really need any of the things that they say you need. Like, for me, I think the thing that you need is the practice. Mm-hmm. You need to bomb. You need to do terrible. You need to fail over and over again. You need
I'm like, yes, got it. Okay, yes.
On the road to success.
Step ahead of you.
Cool. All right.
What's the second?
I'm not triggered by my self-tape I sent in last minute yesterday.
Listen, that's their problem. That's not your emergency. I don't know. Like, I think I've always, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I see my daughter doing this. Something doesn't go her way and she rewrites it. Like, that isn't what I wanted anyway. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's a beautiful way to like kind of reframe it. Like, you see disappointment and you're like, yeah, that is disappointing, but you know what? Then I'm going to get this awesome thing. And I had applied for Teach for America during my senior year at the same time I was applying to like all, you know, I really wanted to go to Yale drama school.
Where Meryl Streep went?
Probably. Or, or NYU, or like there were a couple places that I really wanted and I didn't get callbacks to those places. I got to a couple other places, but I was like, I don't know. And then, but I did get like a second interview for Teach for America. And I had always had kind of like I think I might want to do a Peace Corps or a service kind of thing at some point in my life. But this just felt like the right thing. And I felt called and I was like, I'm going to play this so I can go to like a big city and be close to like the scene. And then when I finish my, you know, my time, I'll know the city and I'll be able to nail it. But then I got, they were like, you're going to rural Mississippi. And I was like, nah.
There goes that.
Yeah. But then they sent me like a priority mail envelope full of like letters from the kids and like a VHS tape of like just driving down Highway 1, like where the blues was created. And I was like, I'm from the South. The South has a tricky past, obviously, but like it just felt like it called to me. And I was like, maybe this is what I need. More of this, deeper of this. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And I'm still friends with some of the kids that I taught or that really taught me. and I love to hear. I mean, they've got kids older. They've got like kids older than my kids, some of them, you know, because I was, I think I was like 23 when I was teaching and they were 18, you know.
Oh, so,
Wow.
Also, like you saying, like auditioning for all these theater schools and stuff, like that's so hard. Like, I think so it's many punishing. People, yeah, like they think, like, you know, I mean, not to say that being an actor is at the same like level as a doctor, but it's kind of like it's very similar. Like, I've had this conversation with my little sister who's in med school, and I'm just like so many people, they just like apply to so many of these places, and then it's like sometimes nobody says yes, and then sometimes like it's just that one, and like that's just, it is what it is, and that's like what was meant to happen. But I totally feel you on that, like auditioning for, I mean, applying for all those schools, because it's really hard. It's very, very hard. I think people think acting, going to an acting school is super chill and easy, but they don't know.
I mean, it's like so competitive. Everything is competitive, and you're
so
also
competitive.
It's all about ego, because it's you. Like, it's not, you know, it's not your skill. I mean, it is kind of your skill, but like being an actor, it's so connected to you as yourself.
Yeah.
So like, how do you separate like that piece of like, they don't want me.
Yeah.
You know, how do you separate that out? And that's something I didn't learn until, I mean, I still have that, I still struggle with that. But like when I got on the other side of it as an EP and I was on the other side of the casting table, it really took some of the pressure off for when I auditioned, because I was like, literally we're casting this on an iPhone in between a take. And like, this person is the funniest, but they're not the right size or you know what I mean? Like, there's so many like
so many
weird things that we need specifically that has nothing to do with whether or not you're an act, you know, you're the right.
You're good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, it has nothing to do with
or like you'll go, you know, after an audition and you're like when we used to do them live and you didn't self-tape and spend 2 hours getting it perfect, but and then it's still not even perfect. Tony has seen some of my self-tapes. It's tough to the stuff.
I mean, I think self-tapes are sometimes harder.
That's a separate discipline. I don't even connect that to acting, which for a long time I struggled with it. And that's how I've always felt. I was like, I can act, but fucking auditions and self-tapes, that's what we're going to.
Well, at least with an audition, a live audition, there's like an element of like, the performer kind of lights up in you, you know, because you got to nail it. You got to nail it right now. And you've got an audience, like a real audience. Mm-hmm. And they're in charge of like the lighting and like how your face looks and stuff, you know. Yeah. But yeah, you just like, I guess I like let myself off the hook a little bit more when I started to see like that it really, I mean, you know, after an audition when you're like, oh, I messed up that one line, or like I didn't like hit
you
that.
You keep replaying it in your head, or whatever, trying to fix it like, in time. In your
no, mind. The first 10 seconds, I decided if we were even going to consider you. Like, it's just it just happens, you know. It's what the person is subjectively thinking in your head, and it really honestly has nothing to do with whether or not you're good, you know.
Yeah.
For you, it took being on that other side, like, because you're directing now. On top of producing, writing, but
thank
it's
you, Tony.
What?
Tony.
Thank you. What I'm here for? I got a million of them. Like, it took like wearing all these hats and these different skills for you to see like the bigger picture, right? Because I, of course, when you're just going for one thing, this is what your one view in the room, and then
Totally. I mean, getting on the other side of that, like, and also too, you know, when we were first auditioning people and trying to figure out who like to cast in our shows, like, I made a lot of mistakes about how I handled it in the room, or like how, you know, like, I mean, just thinking about this, like, we cast mostly people that we know because we like, because we know that they, they speak the comedy vocabulary. I know they're going to show up and nail it. Like,
you told
I
me
could
to take
also,
my clothes off.
You did it well.
Glenn and I will take my clothes off for you too. Just saying, I just want to put that out there.
Gladly. Got me some dates. Thank
I'll
you.
Keep that in mind if ever I have another show.
You need another Cuban, you know, I'm just going to throw myself out there.
Love it, love it, love it.
So I wanted to obviously talk about Minx. It sounds so exciting. It's one of the pilots that so many people had been raving about for such a long time. And I was wondering, like, how was that experience auditioning? Obviously, Oscar is also going to be in it. So yes. Even like, it's like, it's you, Oscar. And I know Jess too, you know, who's a UCB gal as well. It's so stacked. And how was the audition process, especially like during a pandemic, like to book such an amazing, huge, like show?
Yeah, first of all, I read the pilot and I loved it. So that was like a no-brainer. I was like, oh, this would be good. And it's you think about like, I mean, I thought about like, well, I was just on this ABC amazing show, Bless This Mess, that had farm animals. Like, this is a real departure, the 70s world of porn. Like, yeah. You know? So I'm listening. And then I did essentially, I put myself on tape. My husband helped me. I happened to have a 70s suit that I threw on, and I just
nice
did my version of it. I was like, this is how I would do it if I got this part. This is what I would bring to it, how I would make it funny. Like, I don't know what you want necessarily, but I think this,
you got
to
take.
Yeah. So, and then I found out that they liked me and that they wanted me to test. And I was like, so what is that? Testing in the pandemic, right?
Just from the first self-tape?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, yes, Lennon.
Look at all these hurdles you just jumped over.
Yeah,
all right, I'm taking notes.
It's a tape, like they're not.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
and
still
then
a
that
tape.
Was it. I did an audition again. That audition that I did in my living room was my audition for the producers, was my audition for the studio, was my audition for the network. And they all said, yes, we like her. And then.
Wait, did you test with a video? Or did you test in a Zoom in front of everybody live?
It was all, they just watched my audition that I did in my living room that one time.
Well, kids, the important thing to remember is that that's not what usually happens.
Yeah.
And please don't ever believe
me. Let me live this life.
Yeah.
So
I
that's
don't know.
How you get a show.
I mean, I haven't gotten, but the other thing is I haven't, like, none of the other self-tapes I did have gone any further.
Right.
And
there I helped were, you with those, some of those, right?
Yes.
So the moral here is that your husband is better at getting you the job.
He's got a
that
deeper
feels,
voice.
That feels right. That feels like you don't get any, or you don't get called back. And then you just get a show that feels like the right, that averages out.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a Dominicano. So he's like, he's got this beautiful, handsome voice. And he's just like on the other side. And I'm like, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Yes.
He keeps telling me that he wants to get cast off. He's like, one day somebody's going to be like, but wait, who's that guy?
Who's that guy in the mask?
Oh, that's going to happen.
Your performance was fine, but who's reading?
He did do a part on Bless This Mess. There's an episode where my character kind of goes wild on a girl's like weekend in Omaha. Uh-huh. And I like randomly kiss a stranger. And Lake, who and Liz, who were the co-creators and showrunners and everything, were like, would your husband do this? That way you don't have to kiss like a random dude. And I was like, first of all, I was like, no, because he's so shy. Mm-hmm. But he's also very handsome. So I was like, well, let me. And then I was like, well, I can't speak for him. Let me ask. And then he said yes. And then I really got worried. Because then I was like worried about them and him and all this stuff. But he nailed it. And I requested that he be placed in a bolo tie and cowboy boots. And it worked out.
Yes.
Then you ran with it.
She's like, and I want him to look like this. Yeah.
And they called the character in the script was just called Dashing Man. And now, like his work colleagues, they call him Dash.
Dash? That feels appropriate. That feels appropriate.
It's pretty cute.
That's such a cute story. I love that. Imagine how many like significant others have had to help. I mean, with self-tape. I've had my boyfriend from like home, like at his house, just get on Zoom like 10 times already.
Or FaceTime.
Yeah. And like my little brother, like just so many random people, my sister, that's a dog, like all these like people that have nothing to do with entertainment. Cause I'm just like, Yeah, because I'm like, I feel annoying asking my other actor friends again for the like whatever time.
And, yeah.
Or asking my roommate because it's like, you know, for whatever reason, I feel like I've done it, you know, so many times. I'm like, I don't want to annoy you. I'm so sorry. I'll ask my dad. And it's like, you know, this like Cuban 78-year-old man in the background. Jess, do you want the ice cream or whatever it is, like his line. And it sounds crazy, but I'm like, this might help me.
But it I makes you look good. It makes you
yeah,
look good.
I'm like, it might help me. They're going to be like, can we, who's that
you
guy?
Really roast so the authentic. You roast.
Yeah.
You know, this is a take we weren't ready for, but we like, we're going to change his character to a 70-year-old Cuban. Yeah. Thank you.
Could you it imagine? Really worked in the scene.
This my that- line or yours? Now get yeah. the part now? Oh, wow.
This would be, that would be my life. Oh my gosh.
And see.
Yeah.
Lennon, thank you so much. There's a million more things I want to ask you,
yeah,
but I think we're going to have to have you back.
We have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Before you go, is there anything that we can let our fans know that will be coming out? Is there anything else? Any magical self-tapes? Coming through.
Oh yeah.
Where can we see your husband next?
All my yes. self tapes.
Oh, yes.
No way. No way. No way.
Please.
No, because it's so embarrassing when you don't get it.
Right.
Wait. You did a self tape for Veep, and it got you in the room.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh no. Oh. You were. Oh, you auditioned for a role that was
that I didn't
from the role
get that one.
For
no,
Veep.
Jessica St. Clair booked that role.
But you. Yes.
And then I went back again for a different role. And that's the one I got.
Karen?
Yeah. Karen Collins. Yeah. Oh,
I love to hate her.
She's the worst.
I love to hit her.
Hate her.
Hate.
Oh, how
is my accent that thick?
No. Sometimes.
I love to hate her.
I'd love to punch her with emotions.
Fair.
I hate Karen.
Yeah, she's the worst. She's the worst.
Hate.
I know we have Minx coming out, but is there anything else?
Oh yeah.
The podcast as well.
Sure. I do this podcast. It's called Womp It Up. It's on Earwolf or Stitcher. Like there's a ton of episodes from
you
years
watch the
going
first one.
Past. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Which you are the DJ uncredited. I do
DJ it, but I take credit fully the whole time.
Oh.
Okay, good.
You should do like recap episodes per like year or season so people can just do like a refresher.
I don't think that would take so long. And honestly, it doesn't ever track like what happened the last time. Who knows? Anyway.
People just jump in when they jump in.
Yeah, it's just joyful. So if you want to hear those dulcet tones in your ear holes, go for it. And Jess and I have been writing. We're writing a feature right now. We wrote a feature the last 2 years for Gina Rodriguez for Universal.
That's
so
right.
We're hoping, fingers crossed, that something will happen with that. So good. I mean, there's not. That's it. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Lennon Parham, and I always post what I'm up to there.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Yes. Oh, wait.
Oh, my goodness. Who do we have?
Just to say goodbye.
You got here just on time. We were literally saying bye-bye, Oscarito, but say hi.
Hi, Lennon.
Hi.
All right, get out of here. We're going to finish.
Thank you again, Lennon, so much. We love you. Such a big fan. And we can't wait to watch you and Oscar and Minx soon, mm-hmm. and also
and Dash.
Yes, and Dash. We gotta wait for Dash. Everyone, you guys can also follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG. You could follow us on Twitter at Spanish Aquí, and you could follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Of Course It's Carlos.
And you can follow me and ask me any questions, anything that I said in episode at Ozzymo, OZZYMO on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at please help me with my selftape.com. Oh. I need so much help. Just kidding. I'm at the Tony Roderick on IG and Twitter. And check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, yay, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show. Lennon Parham, we love you so much. Thank you for being here.
Love you guys too.
Thank you so much.